Welcome to Railbird Central and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. We're talking some Packers football. To do that, to kick off the show this morning, we have a very special guest joining us on the line. Joining us right now on the phones, we have Packers defensive lineman Mike Daniels. Mr. Daniels, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Very good. Thanks for joining us. Now, I understand you participated in the Vince Lombardi Golf Classic this past weekend. How did that go?
No, unfortunately, I couldn't make it. You know, my son, he was a little ill over the weekend, and, well, I have a 8-month pregnant fiance at home, so had to do my duties. You know, unfortunately, I couldn't make it to that one.
I understand. Those types of things come first. No doubt about it. But tomorrow, you return to practice for the last week of OTAs in Green Bay. Last week, you wrapped up mini camp. How's the off-season program been treating you?
It's been treating me great. You know, I mean, it couldn't have been better. You know, last year, I didn't really have the opportunity to participate in OTAs or mini camp due to my recent shoulder surgery. So now I'm really enjoying being out there working out, even getting more acclimated to the system, learning the playbook, and just getting my body ready for the dreaded of the season.
Is there anything new the team has been practicing this year? Any new defensive schemes? What can we get you to spill the beans on?
Well, to be honest with you, you know, we've just been working on perfecting our craft. I mean, to be totally honest with you, everything seems new to me. You know, I mean, I really approached it with an open mind. I didn't try to really allow anything to linger from last year because I know I had a couple of errors on the field last year as a rookie. So I really just came into it with a blank slate. And I made sure that I just relearned everything.
That's a great way to go about things. How about goals this year? What are your team and individual goals you might have this season?
Well, I just want to contribute more than I did last year. You know, I really want to further make a name for myself amongst my peers on my team and around the league. And more importantly, I want to assist us to, you know, win another world championship.
Well, you contributed a touchdown last year, and you want to contribute more this year. So does that mean two touchdowns?
Well, I like to make some more tackles. You know, touchdown was more of a gift. But, you know, making big plays would be ideal.
Fair enough. We're talking with Packers defensive lineman Mike Daniels here on Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. And Mike, they always say second-year players kind of make a big jump from year one to year two. The game slows down for you. You understand more. Is that true?
I would like to think so. In practice, I can tell definitely I know things a lot. Well, things have come to me a lot more simple. You know, the speed of the game has really slowed down drastically for me. I'm not out there with my, running around like a chicken with my hair cut off, not really knowing exactly where to go. I do know my exact position where to be, how to play the technique better. I'm better at recognizing a lot of the offensive plays, a lot of the blocking schemes. And with being in the system a whole another year, I've learned how to, you know, implement my own style of play, but still being within the confines of the system.
You know, Mike, much has been made about your size before. You're 6 foot even. You weigh less than 300 pounds. Yet most defensive linemen in the NFL are a couple inches taller, tip the scales at over 300 pounds. Do you kind of get sick of having to defend your size?
No, because I'm used to it. And quite frankly, if you ask many offensive linemen, they'll tell you the guys they like to block the least are the shorter, active, more powerful guys, and well, I'll fit that bill. You know, you look around the league, there's quite a few guys that are, well, vertically challenged, so to speak. and they play pretty well. You know, Geno Atkins, the guy from the Bengals, comes to mind. You know, John Randall is a Hall of Famer. You know, he might have been smaller than me, weight wise, and he was about 6'1". You know, so you know, at some point, people will stop. You know, pointing that out. As with, you know, what Drew Brees said about the quarterbacks, he was referring to Russell Wilson. And, you know, Jim Kelly said the same thing. You know, there's been short quarterbacks that have had success. So, you know, they had to stop using that against the guy at some point. You know, but I'll have to carry the torch as being a quote-unquote undersized defensive lineman and continue to make our mark in this league.
So you would say it's your quickness off the snap that allows you to be successful?
Well, yeah, you know, amongst other things, but quickness is definitely one of them.
You know, I think some guys who are known for their quickness are kind of thought of as pass rush specialists. You know, how hard do you work at being a complete player and a guy that can play the run too?
Well, if you have quickness, you need quickness to play the run as well. You know, those guys get the running, and you kind of have to catch up to them to knock them off their pass so they don't get to the linebackers. Now, I would say that requires some quickness as well. But, you know, things I do to make sure I perfect my craft and be an all-around player is study a lot of tape. You know, I take my our individual coaching seriously, take the technique seriously. I really make sure that, I mean, I go back and watch tape from college, you know, and possibly even high school to really see tendencies that I might have had just growing up, you know, things that despite coaching in high school, coaching in college, and even coaching in the NFL, that I, you know, just physical habits that I have, you know, maybe I might always position my hands a certain way, or maybe I might run too straight up. You know, so I won't try to watch things that have been, you know, things that I have done my whole life that I probably didn't even realize I'd done. So, you know, at this point, you have to correct those type of things. So, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is I just take the whole process of learning the technique very seriously because, I mean, when you have the technique, you can basically do whatever you want when you're on the field. And being a quote-unquote undersized player, that's definitely necessary because I don't have the 340-pound anchor, you know, or the 6'6 length. So I have to play to my strengths.
I think that's a great way to think about it, to go about it. Mike, here, before we let you go, you said your fiance is 8 months pregnant, was it?
Oh, seven.
I
gave her extra month there.
Okay. So that this is the pregnancy is probably going to come during training camp. Is that going to pose a problem?
Well, you know, 2 years ago, my son was born the first day of training camp, my senior year in college. You know, probably the most important year, you know, at that point. So I'm used to dealing with that.
Okay, well, hey, we wish you all the best and a premature congratulations here. But when that comes along, that will certainly be a special moment. So thank you so much this morning, Mr. Daniels, for joining us for an interview this morning at Cheesehead TV. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
All right, good luck. That is Packers defensive lineman Mike Daniels joining us here at Cheesehead TV this morning on Railbird Central. Thanks to him for joining us, and thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as well. So great to have him this morning, and really cool to listen to him talk about, you know, being a guy who's quote unquote vertically challenged in the NFL, but still getting it done nonetheless, playing at a high level, you know, really doing a very good job last season as a rookie, Mike Daniels did. You know, it came along slow for him, but as Mike himself pointed out, he didn't even participate in the offseason program last year. This time last year, he was on the sidelines. Remember, he had offseason shoulder surgery, so things kind of came along really slowly for him, at least to begin with. And they got, you know, obviously training comes around and he participates a little bit more. And then early in the regular season, I'm not even sure if he was active the first few games of the year. But then remember, like, injury struck, you know, CJ Wilson was out for a stretch of time last year on the Packers defensive line. BJ Raji missed a game. Mike Neal missed a game, I believe. And, here comes Mike Daniels stepping in and being more than just a pass rush specialist. You know, I know I myself was skeptical. I'm like, you know, a guy who's six foot tall and less than 300 pounds. This is the kind of guy who's going to come in and pass rush on third downs, maybe. You know, that was my expectation with Mike Daniels. Well, he proved to be more than that. You know, they especially late in the year, started using him in the base 3-4 defense, playing the run, and doing a good job of it. I think his future's bright, and, you know, he's only going to get better now that this season he is taking part in the offseason program. He's learning more. Like he said, he's taking the perfect approach to it, kind of coming in with a blank slate, trying to relearn everything and work on his fundamentals. And, you know, that's really what this part of the offseason is for, is fundamentals. You know, the May-June time period, OTAs, minicamp. That's fundamentals time. It's the team stuff, the offense, defense coming together as a whole, that's going to come in training camp. And not to say they don't work on that here, in the off season, but, you know, it's more individual work, getting better as an individual player. And that's what you want from a guy like Mike Daniels. That's what you want from every guy on the team. But yeah, I mean, it's really cool. And we appreciate him taking the time to talk to us here this morning. And wish him the best of luck, and wish him the best of luck with the new child as well. So, gonna come during training camp. It'll be a long few days for him when that day comes, I imagine. But wish him the best of luck nonetheless. It is a Monday morning here. It is now what, June 8th today. And what we're doing, you know, as far as the Packers concerned, we're entering the last week of the offseason program. So last week, they wrapped up minicamp. That's now over. And this week is the final week of OTAs, organized team activities. They're off today, players off today, probably why Mike Daniels could take the time to talk to us here at Railbird Central. But not to say that they're not working out or lifting weights or things like that. That might happen today. But practice begins tomorrow. The final practice open to the public this offseason. So if you're, you know, in Wisconsin, in the Green Bay area, or have the means to get to Green Bay, tomorrow's the last public off-season practice, your last chance, last opportunity to see them before training camp. So you may want to go check that out. I think it happens 11:30 a.m. local time, central time, tomorrow over at Clark Hinkle Practice Field. And, you know, it's the weather has finally gotten nice. If you live in Wisconsin, you've known for about the past 2 weeks, the weather has, you know, been not very summer-like. It's been 50s, 60s, rainy, just, you know, not very pleasant weather for this time of year. Certainly better than the winter months, no doubt about it. But, especially the rain has been disappointing because, you know, it's canceled like 3 off-season practices this season. Not canceled practice, but pushed them indoors, and then the public can't watch. So finally, it's looking like I think we're going to get a nice day in the 70s tomorrow and sunny. And hopefully the Packers will be outside and get a nice practice open to the public where they can see these guys running around, you know, doing some drills, running some plays. And that's what you want as a fan, right? You want to see these guys. You want to see them working. You want to see the rookies. Want to see these guys, how much they've improved. Guys like Mike Daniels. You know, that's what it's all about, and that's the time of year we're at. So, you know, it's the last week, too. So after this week, you know, we're going to come back on Friday and wrap up the off-season program here on Railbird Central. And then kind of it is honestly, I say, you know, people say right after the season's over, well, it, kind of a dead time in the NFL. I'll tell you what, after the offseason program's over, this is the real dead time of the NFL offseason, because everybody takes a break. Everybody takes a vacation. The coaches, the players, they kind of, it's kind of their last opportunity to rest up before the grind of the season, before training camp begins and the regular season after that. It's a grind, so everybody kind of gets their vacation in. It's, you know, the 4th of July happens in there, and of course everybody takes off for that and, you know, kind of rests up, and you know, a lot of people take a little vacation, or, you know, just in general, just rest up. And that's what's happening here. So enjoy the week here we have of some actual football talk, as mini camp or, you know, OTAs wrap up this week, and we got some action to talk about on the football field. Because then, it, you know, for about a month and a half, she really dies down until training camp starts ramping up in late July. And it gets busy real fast, though, because late July, there is the there's so much to do, because they have the shareholders meeting right before training camp begins, and then training camp begins, and they have all sorts of those fan activities. And, you know, as training camp starts, they got the Packers 5K, they got movie night at Lambeau Field, they got all these activities going on in addition to practice starting up. And you know, it does get busy really fast once training camp hits, but it's a little bit of a dead time until then. So, but anyway, here you know, after our interview with Mike Daniels here this morning, I wanted to touch on some of the Packers news making headlines lately. You know, over the weekend there were a couple articles in newspapers hitting the media. And I think one of the ones that made the biggest headlines lately was an exclusive Q&A with Packers quarterback published in the Green Bay Press Gazette over the weekend. It might have been published on Saturday, I believe, or I'm not even sure. You know, sometimes things are published online on Saturday, but they don't hit the print edition until Sunday, so pardon me for not knowing when exactly it hit. But anyway, exclusive Q&A with Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. I think he talked with Mike Vandermause, the sports editor over at the Press Gazette. And, you know, I think one of the more notable things that came out of that interview was Aaron Rodgers saying how he expects to play the next 7 years, kind of actually putting a little bit of a timeline on his career and when retirement might finally come. And by no means are we at the point with Aaron Rodgers like where we were with Brett Favre, where it's a will he or won't he retire kind of thing every offseason. If you remember those days, you'll be glad those days are over. Where, you know, for about 5 straight years with Brett Favre, it's like, is he going to retire? Isn't he? And, you know, ends up playing for a long time past that. Not all of them with the Packers, but regardless, beside the point here, you know, Aaron Rodgers' contract, it runs for the next 7 seasons, including 2013. And, you know, it kind of sounds like it's his goal to kind of just play out that contract and play it by ear from there. You know, he wants to play at a high level and finish out what, you know, he is contractually obligated to do. I mean, he's paid rather handsomely, you know, from the beginning of the contract to the end. You know, it's rather stable. It's not like he gets paid a bunch in the beginning few years of his contract and it dwindles down toward the end, or vice versa. You know, some contracts are kind of structured like that. But this one pays, you know, Aaron Rodgers rather uniformly throughout, you know, the length of the contract, and I think he really wants to, you know, finish it out. He wants to be playing at a high level at the end. Says he wants to win a couple more titles, you know, and saying a couple more, meaning more than one more, which is good. You want that kind of attitude from your leader, from your quarterback of the team. So that's what we're, you know, looking at with Aaron Rodgers here. And you know what? I mean, that's you couldn't expect any more from him. You know, I think, you know, and maybe if somebody here on the live blog wants to figure this out, you know, what will Aaron Rodgers' age be at the time his contract expires? You know what? He's, 29 right now, I think. So in 7 more years, he'll be 36. So, you know, if he plays until 36 years old, I mean, quarterbacks can be successful yet at that age. It's kind of a position where, you know, you can be successful into your late 30s even as a quarterback. You know, some positions you can't be. You know, especially some of the other skill positions, I think wide receiver and running back, you don't see guys successful at that age, where at quarterback you can be, because you're not, you know, probably not taking as many hits. Your game is not predicated on his speed as much as some other positions. And so Aaron Rodgers can definitely, it's not out of the question that he can be, you know, successful at 36. He certainly can. But I think, you know, you get to that point and you're at the end of his career, and who knows? I'm sure, you know, it kind of sounds like he's leaving things open ended, and you know, he might very well sign a contract, another one at the end of this one when he's, you know, 36, 37 years old. But you know, you get to that point, and you might be signing contracts a year at a time, 1 year, 2 year, and you're not, you know, the Packers themselves are, you know, not going to be in a position where they are, you know, tied up into Aaron Rodgers at 36, 37 years old. You know, they're going to be looking for the replacement at that time. You know, it's going to be deja vu all over again, as Yogi Berra would say, when the Packers, you know, 7 years down the road, they're looking for Aaron Rodgers' successor. It'll be interesting to see when they finally, you know, kind of address that situation. You can see almost 5 years down the road, 6 years down the road, they could end up drafting a quarterback rather high once again. You know, it wouldn't surprise you if they'd spend a first round pick on a quarterback 5-6 years down the road, kind of do the same succession plan again, where the backup gets a year or two as an apprentice. You know, Aaron Rodgers even spent 3 years as an apprentice, and after that, and ends up, you know, becoming the starter down the road. It's kind of always, there's always this argument about how do you develop a quarterback? Is that good for him? Is it bad for him? Should they be getting the time and experience right away in their careers? So, you know, by the time they're ready to start, they're, you know, already have experience under the belt and things like that. I mean, every situation's different. I mean, it's, you know, in some situations you look at other NFL teams, there's no choice but these guys to play their first year in the NFL. And I think you're seeing that with a lot of guys right now. You know, Cam Newton, now he's entering his third year in the NFL, but he started right away. You look at some of the other, you know, rookies who were playing last year, Ryan Tannehill, Russell Wilson, you know, those guys are forced into action right away. And, those last two guys on the list, they're great rookie seasons last year, Ryan Tannehill and Russell Wilson, you know, considering they're rookies, especially, still got a ways to go, no doubt about it, but future's promising with them. So, it's different for everybody, I think. I don't think there's any one set way where you can look at it and say, you know, this is the way to do it, or it's not. I mean, and every player is different too. Take a look at, you know, Brandon Whedon with the Cleveland Browns there a couple of years ago, where he was coming into the NFL as a 27, 28-year-old rookie, you know, because he ended up playing professional baseball at the outset of his career, however you want to describe it, is, you know, after high school, ended up playing minor league baseball, so he didn't end up going to college till later, you know, ends up playing for Oklahoma State, so there's not a whole lot of time when you're that age to then sit on the bench, but who knows? Brandon Whedon's kind of the exception to the rule. There's not a whole lot of players like him out there. Most of the time you're drafting a younger, much younger rookie. So every situation's different, but be interesting to see down the road. And we are talking far down the road, but still, it just can be a case of deja vu almost. I can see it in my head. I can look into the crystal ball a little bit and see in the Packers draft the back, because, you know, it's more than likely BJ Coleman is not the Packers' future starter here. I would be very surprised if he is, you know, and that's not a knock against BJ Coleman. It's just that Aaron Rodgers is expected to be the starter for the next 7 seasons. You know, it's BJ Coleman's going to probably follow in the line of a lot of former Packers quarterbacks who, you know, end up cutting his teeth in Green Bay for a couple years and then get traded out of here, or, you know, leave via free agency or whatever. You know, it's one of those types of situations where, you know, gets a little experience and then gets his chance somewhere else, whether as it's a number two guy, a top backup, or even as a starter. Probably hoping to be a starter a few years down the road. And BJ Coleman even now looking to become the primary backup here in Green Bay. And I think that's a great spot for him to be at his point in his career, you know, now in his second year in the NFL. He's going to be described as a first year player because he was only on the practice squad last year, was never on the 53-man roster, never played in any games, but, you know, his second season as a professional, really. And it's going to be quite a shootout between Graham Harrell and BJ Coleman in training camp as they kind of fight for, see who is the top backup to Aaron Rodgers this season. You know, I think I made a prediction before on the Packers 53-man roster. I personally think BJ Coleman will end up winning the competition. And not that I'm counting Graham Harrell out already. I could change my mind during training camp after seeing those guys in action, seeing how they're doing. But, I do think there's a little bit more upside with a guy like BJ Coleman as opposed to Graham Harrell, just from a size standpoint, the height and weight, the arm strength, especially. Graham Harrell's not really known as having the biggest cannon in the world, you know, thought of as an accurate guy and a guy who can put the ball on the money, on the numbers, and that's what he does best, and that's a credit to him. But as far as having a much stronger arm, and that's not to say BJ Coleman isn't accurate. I think he can be both. I think he can be accurate and have a strong arm. And when you've got both of those things going for you, you know, that's you know, obviously better than just having one or the other. So it's going to be an interesting battle at the quarterback position, and we'll see what it comes down to once training camp begins. I mean, the competition kind of begins in earnest here in the off season as we got one more week of OTAs here, but it really ramps up during training camp, and it'll be interesting to see too how they kind of split up snaps. The backup quarterback tends to get a lot of playing time in the preseason games. You know, throughout the course of 4 preseason games, the top backup, you know, gets to see a lot of action, but the number 3 quarterback just kind of gets, you know, series, you know, they'll get a series here and there And that's where BJ Coleman was last year. He played a couple series. He probably played in every game, but not a whole lot. He'd get one or two series at the end of each game, and you know, it's not really a whole lot of time to get in a groove, and that's really what puts you behind the eight ball a little bit, especially as a number three or heck, even a number four quarterback if teams have them. We'll see how much the Packers' fourth string quarterback right now, Matt Brown, how much, you know, where he's at in this competition as well. But you know, that's kind of a future point to see where he's at. But anyway, it's now 9 o'clock here on Railbird Central, and you know, thanks so much for joining us here this morning on a Monday morning here at Cheesehead TV. Tomorrow practice happens, so the next, you know, next time we have Railbird Central on Wednesday, as we do every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, we'll be wrapping up tomorrow's open practice at OTAs and kind of talking about what happened on the field. So join us then this upcoming Wednesday here at Cheesehead TV. But we'll see you later, everyone. On behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Kirivu. I leave you today with a song called All Inside by Kyle Hollingsworth on Cy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.